The Influencer's Edge is brought to you by the Rapid Sales Accelerator. If you're ready to skyrocket your sales by 30% or more in just 90 days, then you need to claim your free training right now. You'll learn 4 words that will compel your prospects to trust you like they were children within the first 3 to 5 minutes of any conversation across any platform and any medium. You'll learn how to give your prospects objection amnesia to crush objections like, I need to talk to my spouse, or I need more time to think it over, or it's too expensive. And finally, you'll get a free recorded audio training that will install unbelievable attitudes for success and wipe out any limiting beliefs. So if you'd like to claim your free training now, go to www.paulrossbook.com. Do it before your competition does it now. Welcome to the Influencer's Edge. This is the place where you come to get the latest breakthroughs, cutting-edge insights, tools, and techniques to leapfrog over the pack in sales, persuasion, and influence. Be sure you visit our website at www.theinfluencersedge.com. And while you're there, subscribe to us via your favorite network. Now sit back, tune in, and enjoy today's episode. Hey, welcome back to the Influencer's Edge. And today we have a gentleman who's an expert in high ticket closing. And this is something that we all want to learn, because the higher the ticket that you sell, the more money that ends up in your bank account, and the more that you can send to me, because you appreciate me here at the Influencer's Edge. So our guest today is Adam Serra. How are you, Adam?
I'm well. Pleasure to be here, Paul.
Now, in case you didn't notice, Adam has a British accent, which means we have to listen to everything he says with close attention. Where are you originally from in England, buddy?
London. I've lived in London all my life. North London.
Okay, so Adam, we are going to read your bio, which is quite extensive, I must say. Darn it, concern it. All right, hold on. I'm sorry, Adam, we'll start again. All right, welcome back to the Influencer's Edge. And today's guest is Adam Serra. Adam is an expert on high ticket sales and closing. So Adam, welcome to the Influencer's Edge.
Thank you. Thank you. Good to be here talking to you, Paul.
And I'm joining you from outer space, as you can see. And I'm wearing my official United States Department of Justice merch. So, Adam, you have nearly 2 decades of experience and exceptional track record. And you personally closed more than $30 million in high ticket sales. That's a lot of money, dude.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. Absolutely.
A lot of money. You're recognized for your innovative approach to high-ticket sales, and you are the creator of the revolutionary inverse closing method. Let's unpack that right away before we go through your rather extensive biography. Does that mean you hang upside down or you turn inside out? What does inverse closing mean?
Almost. Depends on who I'm speaking to. But so inverse closing is taking...
Go ahead.
Sorry, I just got interrupted there. So inverse closing is based on the idea that the prospect must close themselves, that we do not close them. And when you look at the approach, we do everything that's unconventional, that goes against the traditional sort of understanding what closing's about. So for example, in inverse closing, the salesperson does the least amount of talking. The salesperson has the least amount of excitement.
Well, I love that one. We're going to get to the first one, but the second one, I have said over and over that enthusiasm can kill a sale, absolutely destroy a sale.
100%. And I always say this to my closers. I say, look, why would you be more excited than the prospect for them to make a purchase? There's only one explanation, and that is commission. So if you come on a call sounding all excitable, it just gives off this is a salesperson. So in inverse closing, we do the opposite, as you would know, Paul, a pattern interrupt. We do the opposite of what they're expecting. And what we do then is that we make them suggestible. So that's the point of that.
All right, let's unpack some of the elements. I'll give you a little bit more of your I'll give out a little bit more of your biography because you've got an impressive record. You have sold high ticket programs for Paul McKenna.
Yeah.
Wow, Paul McKenna is the very famous hypnotist. Is that say Aljeet Nawalka? I don't know who that is. Mind Valley, of course, I know more than enough. Limited J, how do you say that? I don't want to mispronounce
J
J's.
J J Shetty Certification School.
Okay, I was going to mispronounce it. And Peter Sage. Wow, that's pretty freaking amazing. Up to seven to eight figures, dude. I hope you work on a commission basis and are not a flat fee.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I've been very fortunate to work with really big players in the high ticket coaching space where I've helped them scale their teams. Like in some cases, I worked for the famous UK therapist, Marissa Peer. I scaled her team from 3 to 100 closers, really trained the entire team, wrote the script, gave them the playbook, and I've done that for various different influencers in the high ticket coaching space.
All right, so let's define. I want to get back to inverse closing because you said something that I totally teach myself, which is a pattern interrupt. And you said further that you do it by getting the prospective client to do most of the talking. So can you give us a technique or two to get them to do most of the talking?
Yeah, absolutely. So to get the prospect to do most of the talking is really utilizing well-crafted questions. So if I could give you an illustration. So
Yeah.
imagine a conversation is a wooden sort of tilting board with a marble on it. And
Right.
all that you're doing is you don't take the marble and drag it across the maze. What you're doing is you're actually tilting the marble so that eventually arrives in the hole and you win. That's what I'm doing with a conversation. I'm using the power of well-crafted questions to tilt the conversation so that they do all the talking. And not only that, they do all the heavy lifting so that I can understand them and their world and how I can help them.
Well, how is this different? And I'd love to push back on I almost said clients, on my guests. How is this different from the traditional qualifying questions that they ask in traditional sales?
Well, qualifying questions would be th things like, well, can you do this now? Do you have the budget? Are you the decision maker?
Right.
I'm not talking about those kind of basic kind of questions. I'm talking about the ability to draw out, and we can talk about this in more detail,
Want
but
to.
the emotions of the prospect. I want them to elicit their state, their emotional states on that call. Firstly, I want them to identify all the problems in their world. Then I want them to elicit the emotion that comes from that problem so that I become an authority in their world, so because I understand their world better than they do.
Dan Kennedy, I think it was Dan Kennedy, the marketing legend, who said, people don't buy from people who have the best solution. They buy from people who perceive have the best diagnosis that matches
Yeah.
exactly what they're thinking. Is that
Well
about
said.
correct?
Yeah, well said. Yeah, well said.
All right, so let's unpack a little bit more here. I want to drill down into the methodology. So what kind of questions would you ask a prospect? Let's say you have Paul Ross's high ticket, how to boost your sales by 30% or more. We'll call it the super sales. Super quick sales booster, whatever the hell we want to call it. We swear in this show too, so feel free to say shit or fuck or whatever you want. We don't care on this show. So you're gonna sell that program. What kind of questions do you begin? Obviously, there's an introduction, and so
Yeah.
what kind of questions would you begin to ask?
So I think it will help here to talk about the type of questions that I ask.
Yes.
So most salespeople are taught to ask positive centric questions. So what's your goal? What do you want to achieve? How much money do you want to get in X amount of time? X, Y, Z. I don't ask those questions. I ask pain-centric questions.
Ooh, I love it. Things we love are our guests who stir up controversy and hate email. So go ahead, hit us with it. Go ahead. Like, what's it going to cost you 10 years down the road if you don't do this? Or
well, that's an implication question. So that by nature can be either negative or positive. So implication questions can be of two sorts. They can be negative or they can be positive. So if you don't do something, negative consequence. If you do something, positive consequence, right? But what I'm talking something way before that. I'm saying, what is it about your situation that causes dissatisfaction and concerns and voids and fears? That's how I begin the conversation. Because if I can get them in a negative state, when I come with the solution, I look way more desirable.
This is so contrary to be positive and be of service. Yeah, yeah, totally. I love it.
Now, think of this. Like, I am helping coaches who have been taught to be positive and uplifting.
Yes.
And then I'm selling their program by being a pain-centric. It's counterintuitive, but it's the only way it works.
And now, don't you get pushback from your positive-centric clients who are, or you don't let them know what methods you're using? I would assume they'd be, then again, if you're putting money in their bank account, they may just think, who gives a fuck? Adam is selling my stuff.
Exactly. Adam, it works. It's ethical. Great. Carry on doing it. That's what I
Well, money talks, bullshit walks. How did you come up with this? What was your, or because obviously your orientation is completely different, as is mine. I was taught as a kid by my mom to think differently. She said, if the herd is going one way, you make sure you go the other way. So how did you come up with this? And was that orientation? Two questions. How did you come up with this? And then the question that should actually come before it is, have you always had this orientation of thinking outside the box and thinking differently than what has traditionally been taught you?
Yes. So my background's in philosophy. That's what I studied at university. So what philosophy allowed me to do was to apply that kind of rigorous thinking and testing ideas in the sales world, in sales psychology or philosophy. And what I, through trial and error and just using every kind of method out there, what I understood was people are way more motivated to move away from pain than to gain pleasure.
Yes. I will just unpack your answer a little bit. This is in neurolinguistic programming, we talk about creating a propulsion system, moving people away from pain and pulling them towards pleasure. But I think your orientation is actually quite true. So with regard to philosophy, would you call yourself an empiricist or a rationalist? Or
I'm a rationalist.
Oh, okay.
Through and through rationalist.
So are a priori synthetic knowledge a thing, or is synthetic knowledge only gained through empirical investigation?
Oh God, now. Okay.
I'm just fucking with you here, but you understand what I'm talking about.
Yeah, totally.
It's a good dose of epistemology for those who don't know. Epistemology is the branch of philosophy that studies how we know what we claim to know.
Yeah, and one of my favorite philosophers was Descartes. Cognitive logo sum. You know, I think, therefore I am.
Someone else translated had a different one. I laugh, therefore I am. I like that one better.
Oh, right, nice.
Talk about sales as a service no longer working.
Yes.
Aren't you providing sales as a service to your clientele?
So I'm very critical of this in my book. So, and there is a lot of pushback on this. Well, what do you mean? the problem with sales as a service, it's a reaction to always be closing. Now, in order to understand sales as a service, as a attitude or philosophy of selling, you have to understand its origin. It's a reaction to always be closing, this kind of aggressive, high pressure way of selling, right? Like the boiler room type of that.
So I was just going to say Jordan Belfort.
That sort of thing, right? So what's happened is this being sleazy and yucky, people have come up with the philosophy that sales is service. But the problem with that is that it diminishes you and your authority as a salesperson. It's like, yes, sir, what would you like me to do, sir? Send you a brochure, sir. Yes, ask me whatever you like, sir. And then there's no sale. So it's gone to, so if you can think of a spectrum, it's one extreme to another. Always be closing, only concerned with my own self, versus I'm only consumed by yourself. That's the problem.
I love that. This is sort of like the difference between in dating being a simp or being someone who's got who's a bully. You can be a simp on the one hand or a jerk on the other.
Exactly.
You're saying there's a better choice. Everyone watching the show knows I'm a former pickup and seduction coach. We make no bones about it. We frequently discuss it. So you're saying you're getting rid of the simps and you're getting rid of the jerks.
Exactly. So what inverse closing is the harmonization of those two approaches, where it takes the control element of always be closing, and it takes the empathy and the ethical approach and combines the two.
A lot of people would push back and say that's just not possible. But with a track record of $30 million, you would say that's good empirical evidence that it's more than possible.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you can, I think it is which philosopher, Schopenhauer, he said human beings are like all they are is will. So if we take lesson from that, selling, always be closing, is only concerned about the salesperson's will. I want the sale for my own sake. Sales as a service, I want the sale for your sake. Inverse closing is, I can still have it for my sake and your sake, and they can both align and I can get a sale. That's what that's what about.
I love it. You're teaching salesmen to be champion gamers. this is super cool. So what are some of the kind of questions we can even role play? So you're representing Paul Ross. You're going to sell my training program. I don't have one yet. I don't know when you're watching this, but I will create one. You're going to sell a super sales program. It's got a high ticket. What do you consider high ticket, by the way? What are the range of the courses that you
sell? Yeah, good question. So high ticket is typically anything over $3,000. Some people say it has to be from $5,000, but anything over $3,000 would be considered high ticket.
Okay, so let's say I'm going to do, and when it comes down to these programs, because I know a good chunk of the people watching this are entrepreneurs who are looking to do business online. These programs can range anywhere from 90 days to a year. Is that correct? Or what have you seen in your experience?
Yeah, so it can be 90 days, it can be 6 months, a year. And obviously the ticket price can go all the way up to 50 to 60 to 80K.
And what do you think? I'm going to dive into this, but I'll never get him on the show, but I love Alex Hormozzo. You know who Alex Hormozzo is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
$100 million offers. If you guys don't have that book, you need to get it. He says people will pay for speed. They want speed as much as they want free. So if you can actually pack a program into a shorter period of time, you can charge more. Mm. Have you seen that in your experience selling these programs?
Yes. So we've tested selling coaching offers. So in my Done For You High Ticket Closing Agency, we have various different coaches that we sell their offers for. And what we found is that when people want a more instant gratification, of course, that's our culture. when we have a program at 6 months, there's more resistance. But if we have the same offer, the same content over 3 months, people are more likely to buy.
What's the, do you know the percentages of likelihood? What is more likely, like 30%, 40%?
What I can say is there's about 15 to 20% more resistance with an offer that goes over 3 months.
Got it. Okay. You want to slice the numbers. Got it. Okay. So let's see. So what are some of the questions? Again, we want to generate pain for these people and gather information at the same time. So what do you think of traditional teachings around rapport that say you got to get rapport? What do you think?
I hate traditional understanding of rapport. Absolutely hate it. So, Paul, like, what's the weather there like? You know, where are you from? Oh, you have a dog there. My dog has the same cousin as your dog. It's just
Does this shit ever work, or were people just
No, it is like when I listen to my clients' sales calls, I hear this shit and it drives me up the wall. It's just so cringy. You know, my estimation of them like plummets when I hear them doing this shit and just asking about the weather. And it's just really, really cringe. The way that I understand rapport is this. If I can understand themselves, if I can understand the prospect better than they do, their situation, what they're going through, their challenges, that's how I build a rapport. It is not this cheesy trying to be their friend and all that sort of stuff.
Yes. I got it. I could, in my own background, my parents were real estate people, and they were very bright. My parents were super smart, but they were so into being people pleasers rather than being salespeople that they just didn't do as well as they otherwise might have done. Totally get it. Let's role play. I have my $15,000 course, all up your sales in 30% or 90 days, or I'll let you stay for another 2 months. That's my risk reversal, et cetera. We're going to sell it for 15K. We've got some leads. By the way, how do your clientele get their leads? Do you generate the leads for them, or they have to bring the leads to you?
No, so we're just strictly back end. So they would generate their own leads using ads or whatever. Okay. And we would get them booked into our closers calendars.
And then you get a piece of the revenue, I'm assuming.
Correct. We're a commission. Yeah.
Got it. So if you don't perform, you don't get paid. I love that model.
Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
So I'm a lead. You're talking to me. Let's dig into my pain. Let's role play a little bit. We've never role played on a show before, but you seem like a sharp fella, and let's role play a little bit. So you're calling me and blah, 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 blah. Let's dig into the questions. What kind of questions you begin to ask me? And this is for salespeople who are already successful. They're doing around $1 million, but they're stuck. Their pain points are the following. They're not moving the needle. They're stuck in what's already working. You understand? Mm-hmm. And some of their sales team are performing really good, but they want to go from good to great, from great to bragging rights. They want the status of being able to say, I'm the best there is. Are you getting the pain points?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's play a little bit.
Okay. We're in the role place.
Yeah.
So in your opinion, Paul, why would you say that you're not able to get to where you need to get to? If you had a gut feeling in terms of what's going wrong on these calls to get you to the next level, what would it be?
Well, I can tell you a couple of things. First and foremost, my goddamn team, I have three people are doing only in 70% of the revenue, and the rest of them are like dead, are not dead weight, but they're just pulling their weight. I've tried training programs. I've spent money on bringing in trainers. I can't get the other 10 people to come up anywhere near the level of the first three. And it's just cap my revenue. I'm not doing bad. I'm doing good, but I want to be fantastic. That's number one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And anything else?
I'm already a high achiever, but sometimes I just feel that I should be doing more. And then I beat on myself and I get lazy and I do less. Do you understand? So I know by the numbers I'm doing well, but I don't feel like it. I just feel like I'm an imposter.
What makes you, how do you know that you're feeling in that way? What makes you feel like you're an imposter? How do you know that's true?
I just talk to myself about it and I just feel terrible in my body. And I just think I could do so much better. I look at the people around me in the field and they're crushing it and I'm crushing it, but they're way crushing it more. I've been in business longer than they have. It really bothers me.
So what's, look, you're not doing bad. You're doing well by your own admission.
Yeah.
What's the concern then? Ultimately, what's the concern then?
That I'm never going to tap my true potential of this company and take it to where I know it can go.
And what does that mean to you then? If you don't achieve that true potential, what is going to be missing in your career or your life? What would be the
never, you know, living up to my purpose and being the best there is really, really important to me. And I'll not be able to say that about myself. And then also I want to have a fucking house as big as the guy who's two steps ahead of me. I want to be able to show him I'm just as good.
When you say I'm not going to be the best I could be, why is that important for you?
It's just, I need to be the best. I'm super competitive. That's who I am.
And are there people around you that you see that are where you want to be?
Exactly. Now you get it.
And how does that affect you then, seeing other people?
Got it. I see what you're doing. We can pause the role play because I want to make sure this continues. But I get what you're doing. You're unpacking it. And what you're essentially saying, you're doing a sort of like an NLP values elicitation. Like, what does this mean to you? What can you say about yourself if the longer this problem goes on?
You see, the challenge with successful people, because you're playing the role of a successful person, you're not on a poverty line. You're financially, you're very stable. So the challenge for salespeople is to invoke pain with someone who is successful. And the only way that you can sell to someone like that is by understanding this principle. Saint Augustine said that man has two fears: not getting what you want, right? Or losing what you have.
Oh.
So with successful people, if we carried on, I would have played on that second fear: losing what you have. So the only way to sell to successful people that are earning 6, 7, 8 figures is to play on the fear of losing what they have.
I love that, because the competition can come along. People who are better driven, who are getting the latest techniques and technology, and they can eat your lunch. You could be Blockbuster today.
Exactly.
And then Netflix can come along tomorrow. How many Blockbuster stores have you seen lately, Mr. Smith? that kind of thing.
Exactly.
All right. So you've got people at a pain point. I just want to push this a little bit more. I want to keep it a show and not like batting back and forth. But people I know are going to want to know these techniques. So you've got them at the pain point. They really see what's going to happen. People now talk about closing questions. What would be typical closing questions? Like, I hate this. So would you like it in blue or do you want it in brown? Which credit card would you like to use today?
God, yeah, horrible. That might have worked in the 1950s, but it doesn't work anymore.
You know, the worst salesperson I ever met in my life, I was looking for a new car. I walk into the lot. He aggressively comes striding towards me and says, "So are you ready to buy a car today?" And I said, "Not from you." And I just turned around, walked to my car and drove off.
Excellent.
True
excellent
story.
Response.
True. I swear on my cat's bushy tails, but go ahead.
So once you establish the pain, then we would want to do a traditional implication of the negative. So we will say, so the traditional way of saying that would be, and many of your viewers will know this, you know, if things stay the same, blah, 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 what would be the consequence? Now, I wouldn't ask it that way because, again, as we discussed, people are attuned to these techniques. Exactly. So I would disguise the negative implication question and dress it up a little bit. I would say something like, look, Paul, you know, the people that I speak to, they have this view that if they carry on doing what they're doing, they're going to end up somewhere, right? And they don't want to end up there, right? And what they're trying to do is find a way to end somewhere else, to arrive somewhere else. Where do you not want to end up if things continue in that way?
Oh, I get it. So you're embedding it in a story about other people. It's sort of like putting it in quotes. You are a clever bastard, aren't you?
Yeah. So because, you know, prospects are attuned to, they know what you're doing. And the worst thing a salesperson can hear is, no, I don't. It's not, no, I don't want to buy. The worst thing a salesperson can hear is, hey, I know what you're doing. That crushes a salesperson.
So that's similar. That again, I'm going to relate it to pickup and seduction. That's like, yeah, if a woman says, I bet you use this line all the time, don't you?
Yeah, exactly.
And my response is only if it's working. Or only on women who are hot enough and adventurous enough to enjoy it, don't you?
Yes. Like,
I'm losing female audience members by the droves. But I don't
you see the numbers dropping.
I don't care. This is my show.
But yeah, so I teach my closers to the art of subtleness and implication, not being so direct. Like, you know, the equivalent, if we're using dating analogies, you know, you go on a date and then you go, There you go. There's the book.
No one can see my book, and we're not here to promote me, so screw that.
So I'll promote my book.
Yeah, well, let's look at your book. Show us, yeah, what's the name of your book?
So it's High Ticket Revolution. So this is all about the high ticket industry, the growing billion-dollar high ticket industry, what kind of sales skills that you need to sell high ticket, because it's different in nature, because you're not selling something that's tangible, something like a car that you can touch and feel, right? You're selling something that's a transformation in the future.
Exactly. Transformation and hope.
Exactly. And to sell something that's intangible requires a higher level of skill. And the book basically dissects, you know, the selling approaches that exist now, why we need a different model, why we need that harmonization. And then I talk about inverse closing, the five phases, and then how to get hired in the industry.
All right. Well, I jabbered too much to even let you, if you in the audience need to know the five stages of inverse closing, and I think you do, you got to get Adam's book. Now, Adam, how do I get an autograph? First of all, how do people get it? It's on Amazon?
It's on Amazon. You can also go to my website, adamserra.com.
We're going to put the links in there. How do I get an autograph copy, damn it? Because this is what I'm going to want.
It's in the post already, Paul.
Is it?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, we will talk about that because I expect to see it. So our guest today has been Adam Serra. Thank you, Adam. I love that you're unconventional. Stick around. We're going to talk a little philosophy after the show is over. And once again, if I have offended you out in the audience, I'm doing my job. If Adam has offended you, that only means he's brilliant and we love him and we'll have him back on. My mother once said, if you're not offending at least one person a day, you're not living your life large enough. And Mom, who are you to argue with my mother? So on that note, we'll see you next time on The Influencer's Edge.
The Influencer's Edge is brought to you by the Rapid Sales Accelerator. If you're ready to skyrocket your sales by 30% or more in just 90 days, then you need to claim your free training right now. You'll learn four words that will compel your prospects to trust you like they were children within the first 3 to 5 minutes of any conversation across any platform and any medium. You'll learn how to give your prospects objection amnesia to crush objections like, I need to talk to my spouse, or I need more time to think it over, or it's too expensive. And finally, you'll get a free recorded audio training that will install unbelievable attitudes for success and wipe out any limiting beliefs. So if you'd like to claim your free training now, go to www.paulrossbook.com. Do it before your competition does it now. Thank you for tuning in to the Influencer's Edge, where you get the latest breakthroughs, cutting-edge insights, tools, and techniques so you can leapfrog over the pack in sales, influence, and persuasion. Remember to visit our website at www.theinfluencersedge.com to enjoy even more great episodes like this one. We look forward to seeing you again on the Influencer's Edge Show.